Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q1 FY22 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the call, a review of operations of the company. For the first quarter of FY21-22, Glenmark's consolidated revenues from operations was at rupees 29,649 million, as against rupees 23,448 million, recording an increase of 26.4% year-on-year. Onto the businesses. First, the India business. Sales from the formulation business in India for the first quarter FY21-22 was at rupees 12,250 million, recording a growth of 57.1% year-on-year. Q1 FY22 was a landmark quarter for the India business, with both the COVID and non-COVID portfolios of the company performing well. The India business outperformed industry growth, continuing the trend of the past several years. As per IQVIA MAT June 2021, Glenmark's India business recorded growth of 35.4% as compared to the IPM growth of 14.7%. Glenmark's India formulation is ranked 13th, an increase of one rank with market share of 2.6% as compared to 2.24% in Q1 last year. Glenmark is the fastest-growing company amongst the top 20 companies on a MAT June 2021 basis. Glenmark is ranked number one in antivirals, number two in derma, four in respiratory, and six in the cardio market in India. The company launched seven new products during the quarter. Glenmark's novel patent-protected and globally researched sodium glucose cotransporter 2 inhibitor, remogliflozin, continues to do well in India. Total remogliflozin sales, including brand extensions, grew strong double digits during the quarter. Glenmark has recently signed an exclusive long-term agreement with Canadian biotech Sanatize to commercialize nitric oxide nasal spray for COVID-19 treatment in Indian and other Asian markets. Studies have shown that the nitric oxide nasal spray is safe and highly effective in reducing viral load in COVID-19 patients and reduces onward transmission. Phase III clinical trial is expected to be completed, followed by commercial launch under the brand name Fabi Spray in India later during the calendar year. During the quarter, Glenmark became one of the first companies in the world to launch Ryaltris AZ nasal spray, a novel fixed-dose combination of mometasone, furoate, and azelaستat for the treatment of moderate to severe allergic rhinitis in India for patients above 12 years of age. Launched at an affordable cost, the product provides a far more convenient, cost-effective treatment option in the country and reinforces the company's strength in its respiratory franchise. Our consumer care business. Secondary sales of Glenmark's consumer care business grew by 24% year-on-year during the quarter. Candid powder recorded its highest ever secondary sales in June 2021. Similarly, La Shield and Scalpe+ both recorded their highest secondary sales in the quarter. The company also successfully launched Candid Cream during the quarter, which is available in more than 30,000 outlets currently. Coming to North America. North America registered revenues from the sale of finished dosage formulations of rupees 7,878 million in Q1 FY22, recording a growth of 6.1% year-on-year. On a constant currency basis, the revenues have grown 8.5% year-on-year during the quarter. In Q1 FY22, Glenmark was granted final approval and launched theophylline extended-release tablets, 300 mg and 450 mg. Glenmark has been granted a competitive generic therapy, CGT, designation for theophylline extended-release tablets, 450 mg. With this approval, Glenmark is the first approved applicant for such competitive generic therapy and is eligible for 180 days of CGT exclusivity upon commercial marketing of the 450 strength. Glenmark also received approval and launched Arformoterol Tartrate inhalation solution. Arformoterol is manufactured at the company's North America manufacturing facility based in Monroe and marks the company's first nebulizer approval. In addition, Glenmark launched the previously approved product rufinamide tablets as one of the first available generics on the market. The company filed 8 ANDA applications with the US FDA, including 3 filings for Monroe, and is on track to file 18 to 20 ANDAs in FY22, including 4 to 5 filings for Monroe. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through June 30, 2021 consists of 172 generic products authorized for distribution in the US market. The company currently has 44 applications pending in various stages of the approval process with the FDA, of which 21 are Para 4 applications. Talking about the ROW regions, for the first quarter of FY22, revenues from ROW region was at rupees 2686 million, recording growth of 26.7% year-on-year. In Russia and CIS markets, the company is witnessing recovery, with secondary sales having grown 42% year-on-year in the region. In Russia, as per Q1 IQVI, Glenmark's revenues grew 29% in value terms vis-a-vis the 13.2% growth in the overall retail market. Also, during the quarter, the company successfully commercialized Ryaltris in Russia with indications of seasonal and perennial allergic rhinitis in patients over 12 years of age, strengthening our respiratory franchise in the market. Secondary sales of the company grew 20% year-on-year during the quarter in Asia, with strong growth in key markets like Philippines and Sri Lanka. The company also witnessed recovery in the Middle East Africa region with secondary sales growth of 52% year-on-year, with growth witnessed in markets like Kenya, South Africa, and Saudi Arabia. Europe. Glenmark's European operations group was at rupees 3059 million, recording a growth of 11.7% year-on-year. The company witnessed a mixed performance in the Western European region. While growth was affected by continued COVID restrictions in some countries, key markets like UK and Netherlands witnessed positive growth. The Central Eastern European region witnessed healthy growth across most key markets. In line with our global focus on the respiratory segment, Glenmark became one of the first generic companies to successfully launch tiotropium dry powder inhalation, the bioequivalent version of Spiriva HandiHaler, under the brand name of Tiogiva in the UK during the quarter. The company has a strategic exclusive in licensing agreement to market Tio-DPI in Western Europe and is planning subsequent launches of the product across markets in Western Europe. In this quarter, Glenmark concluded the DCB procedure for Ryaltris in Europe, enabling approval in 17 countries across EU and UK with launch planned in the current year. Latin America. Glenmark's revenue from its Latin American Caribbean operations was at rupees 675 million in the quarter, recording growth of 2.5% year-on-year. Revenue growth was impacted by Brazil, where the market remained challenging due to the pandemic. However, we have begun to witness recovery in this region, with most of the other markets recording positive growth momentum during the quarter, including Mexico, which grew 63% year-on-year during the quarter. Glenmark's specialty and innovative R&D pipeline. We'll start with Ryaltris. Ryaltris is currently under review with the FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the USA. Glenmark's response to the agency's CRL was submitted to the FDA in July 21 with a PDUFA goal date in Q4 FY22. In April 21, Glenmark concluded the DCP procedure in Europe, enabling approval in 17 countries across EU and UK with potential launch in key markets in H2 FY22. During this quarter, Glenmark also received regulatory approval for Ryaltris in Zambia, Ecuador, and Peru. Ryaltris sales continue to progress well in Australia, South Africa, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan. In Q1 FY22, Glenmark's partner in China, Grand Pharmaceutical Company Limited, finalized the Phase 3 protocol for China and submitted the IND application in July 21. In South Korea, Glenmark is working with its partner Yuhan Corporation to potentially launch the product by H2 FY22. GBR310. Glenmark has had announced successful phase 1 results for GBR310 that suggests similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, safety and immunogenicity profiles between GBR310 and the reference product omalizumab, marketed in the US under the brand name Xolair. The company is in discussions with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before initiating phase 3 studies. GRC39815 is the company's respiratory pipeline asset being developed as an inhaled therapy for treatment of mild to moderate COPD. It is currently under phase 1 clinical development with a single ascending dose study in the US. The phase 1 study is expected to be completed in the next few quarters. GRC17536. GRC-17536 is the company's pain pipeline asset being developed as an orally administered treatment for pain in patients with painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy. A regulatory submission to DCGI for conducting the Phase 2B DRF study in India was done in Q1 FY22, and the study is scheduled to be initiated in the next quarter. The company is evaluating further options, including out-licensing for the molecule. GRC-54276. GRC-54276 is being developed as an orally administered IO adjuvant treatment for patients with solid tumors in oncology. Pre-clinical in vitro and in vivo profiling was completed in Q1 FY22, and pre-clinical DMPK and non-GLP toxicology studies are currently underway. Further evaluation of the molecule is ongoing to advance towards clinical studies. Glenmark Life Sciences, GLS. The equity shares of GLS were listed on BSE and NSE on 6th August 21, following a successful IPO. Pursuant to the IPO, GLS published its unaudited financial results for the first quarter of the financial year on 13th August 2021. For the first quarter of the financial year, GLS registered revenue from operations, including captive sales, of ₹5 to 49 million, as against ₹3969.7 million during the same quarter of the last financial year, recording growth of 32.2% year-on-year. The EBITDA margin for Glenmark Life Sciences, including captive sales, was 31.3% for the first quarter of this financial year. For Q1 FY22, external sales for GLS was at ₹3040 million as against ₹2348 million, recording growth of 29.5% over the corresponding period last year. For further updates on GLS, please log on to www.glenmarklifesciences.com. Iconos. Glenmark has invested ₹1617 million, which is around $21.9 million, in the first quarter of the financial year, as compared to ₹1735 million, which is $23 million in Q1 last year. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to www.iconossciences.com. The pipeline update for the first quarter is published on this site. Key objectives for FY22. We expect revenue growth of 10 to 15% during the year. We expect to sustain EBITDA margin performance at similar levels of FY21. We expect to reduce debt by at least ₹16 billion during FY22 through a combination of free cash generation and IPO proceeds. Post FY22, the strategic priority is to enhance the free cash generation for further debt reduction. We prioritize this over R&D investments and capital expenditure. We also expect to close 1 to 2 out-licensing agreements in Iconos during the financial year. Some notes before we open for Q&A. The India formulation revenues includes ₹350 crores of Tamiflu sales with EBITDA of ₹70 crores during the quarter. Forex gain for the quarter was at ₹38.9 crores as against ₹40 crores last year, which is recorded in other income. Gross debt for the period ending 30th June 2021 was at ₹4636 crores as compared to ₹4687 crores as on 31st March 2021. The net debt for the period ending 30th June 2021 was at ₹3444 crores as compared to ₹3549 crores as on 31st March 2021. The total net debt reduction was at ₹105 crores. And this is after adjusting for one-time expenditure of around 40 crores in ABCD Technologies and around $7.5 million as premium on prepayment of FCCBs during the quarter. Inventory for the period ending 30th June 2021 was at ₹2426 crores as compared to ₹2277 crores as on 31st March 2021. Receivables for the period ending 30th June 2021 was at ₹2601 crores as compared to ₹2,572 crores as on 31st March 2021. Payables for the period ending 30th June 2021 was at ₹2354 crores as compared to ₹2238 crores as on 31st March 2021. The total asset addition in the quarter was at ₹165 crores, of which the tangible asset addition was around 105 crores. The R&D expenditure for the first quarter was around 284 crores, which is around 9.57% to the total net sales for the first quarter. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I would like to introduce the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals on the call. We have Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Money, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Robert Crockart, Chief Commercial Officer. With that, we'd like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Krishna from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So I had two questions. The first one is on the debt repayment from operating cash flow. So is it fair to assume that around 400 to 500 crores of like debt repayment will be made through operating cash flow?
Yeah, Krish, about 400 crores will be paid from the operating cash flows. So we have set a target of about 1600 crores. So of that, the IPO will give us at least 1200 plus. Because whatever we receive in the IPO, there is some amount of issue expenses as well as on the OFS side, there will be some tax on that. So net around 1200 will come from the IPO, whatever we are using, and balance 400 plus will at least come from the internal generation of cash flows.
Okay, and my second question was on the Ikonos licensing deals that you mentioned. So is there any timeline we can expect when it's likely to happen, whether Q3 or Q4 of this year?
So, Krish, our target is to close this fiscal year at least one deal, right? So between one to two deals is when we'll close this fiscal year. I mean, we've made a lot of progress, and we are pretty confident that should happen.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. Participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Glenn, just taking away up from the last question, around, you know, in your commentary that you've sort of stated in the presentation, in terms of a strategic priority being prioritizing debt reduction going forward over CAPEX and R&D, can you just help us talk a little bit more through in terms of how you're looking at subsequent to FY22 on this whole, on how you look at the utilization of cash flows? So what kind of debt reduction does it imply and what does it really mean for the balance sheet post FY22?
So I think, Nitin, strategically what we are saying is, you know, as Mani mentioned, right, we'll generate 400-500 crores from the business this year. That should keep escalating every year, right? In FY23 and 24. So, I mean, if you run the math, right, I think, you know, we will have very, very low debt, net cash or net debt numbers, right, by the end of FY24, right? Right. So every year you can expect the numbers, the free cash to keep escalating, right, from the business. That's what we are targeting.
And is there a number that we're working with in terms of what we're looking to reduce the debt by, net debt by over the next 2 years? Barring post FY22?
I mean, Nitin, again, if you read what I'm saying, right, I'm saying that from this year onwards, every year, the free cash generation of the business will keep escalating. And all that free cash will go towards reducing the net debt. So if you do the math by FY24, it will be a very low number.
Right. And secondly, on just to associate a point, so how should we look at the CAPEX now for the business over the next 2 to 3 years? You know, we obviously got the GLS listing. They have their own growth plans. Taking that into account, what kind of analyzed CAPEX number we should look at now, including tangibles and intangibles?
So, Nitin, I'll take that question. So what we are saying is that going forward, we are looking at about 650 to 700 crores and maybe next year onwards a little bit lower, 650 or so. So as you can see, even in the first quarter, that probably will be the trajectory at which we will do. We are about 160 or so in the first quarter. So I think 650 to 700 is what we look for the current year, and going forward, it will be more towards 650 or so. And that will include the GLS capex as well. Because many of our important CapEx decisions are already implemented in terms of Monroe and etc. and also some of the other things in terms of in-licensing, etc. So on a broad basis, we are looking at this as a number.
And Mani, this number will continue for at least, till what time are you comfortable with this kind of CapEx before we sort of step up CapEx again?
About 3 years, Nitin. Beyond that, visibility is difficult, but 3 years at least, yeah.
Okay, thanks. So Glenn, on the business, we talked about the India business, the whole nitric oxide licensing deal that you've talked about. Can you just talk us through your own thoughts on this product and the possible potential of this product and when does it begin to sort of impact in the numbers potentially?
Sure. So Nitin, obviously this is a very exciting product, primarily because we think it'll not only work in treatment of COVID, but mainly prevention of COVID. And being a nasal spray, there's the convenience aspect. You can use it, pretty frequently, for prevention of COVID. So it's a very exciting product. We started the phase 3 clinical trial in India, and we are hoping if we do get an emergency use authorization, we could launch sometime as early as October, November, otherwise close to the December time frame.
Okay. And for this is going to be a device product. So this is going to be what, our internal manufacturing, or this is something that you're going to be sourcing, Glenn?
So initially it's sourced, but then we will make it ourselves.
Okay. And lastly, so Sushirat, aside of these COVID opportunities, related opportunities which are there, how is the base business looking like for India?
So India, Nitin, we've clearly been among the fastest growing companies in India, and we continue to sustain that growth momentum. And we are very excited about the prospects of India. We have two or three big launches in this month and next month. So I think that will drive India growth. So I think all in all, next 2-3 years should be good years for the India business for us.
Okay, and if you squeeze in the last one on the U.S., how is the, there has been a lot of talk around generic pricing pressure, and most of our peers, companies have faced pressure in the current quarter. What has been our experience given the fact that our portfolio has been significantly, eroded over the, it has significant pricing pressure on the dermatology side over the last several quarters. And what does the Brovana launch really imply for us in terms of, we haven't seen much, how meaningful a product, what kind of market share are we looking on the product going forward?
Robert, you want to take that?
And it's an outside there for you. It's Robert, yeah? So first of all, I think on the pricing erosion side, we have seen, a bit of an increase, and we're probably looking at it in a bit of more around the high single digit level. And of course, this has an impact as we go along. When you're looking at your question on the Brovana, just to remind you that we really launched the product right at the end of June. So it's still very early days and didn't really have a big impact in quarter one. However, as it stands today, we already have a 28% share. So we're still pretty optimistic in terms of what this product can bring us.
Sorry, I missed the last part, Robert. What did you say about where we are currently on the product?
Our market share on the runner is around 28%. So we're making good progress. What I did say was that we only launched at the end of June, right? So the impact in quarter one was low, but we're quite optimistic about quarter moving forward. Hope you got that.
Oh, got it now. And secondly, just to conclude that, how do you see the approvals for the rest of the year?
So Nitin, you can assume every year we will have about 10-12 approvals, right? So we expect at least another 7-8 approvals yet this year.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one, I missed the data point on India growth, excluding Savitri?
So we did around 350 crores of FABI in the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So excluding that, the growth is around 12 to 13%.
Yeah, okay. So I note that down. So just then, just surprised, right, that if we remove that, then we're talking about the domestic growth as well. Was it that the COVID portfolio kind of impacted the non-COVID part of the portfolio, or how should we, and we've talked about growth in India domestic business, so just trying to understand why the weakness in the rest of the portfolio.
So I think, Shyam, overall, you know, 12-13% is a decent number for non, you know, without COVID, right, in terms of growth. I mean, I don't know too many companies who are delivering above that, right, in India, if you take out the COVID products. So I think it's a decent growth overall, right, on the core business, even without the COVID products. And, you know, if we can sustain, you know, 13-14%, right, for the rest of this year, I think that will be a great performance for the India business without the COVID portfolio, basically.
Okay. So maybe, when we didn't have a base impact like last year, perhaps, right, like the other guys, maybe would that be another way to look at it?
Yeah. Yeah, but even then, Shyam, I mean, look, the Indian IPM, right, if you strip out COVID products, is like in the double-digit range, okay, right, at best.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, we are underperforming the IPM. We've always done better than the IPM, and we will continue growing from strength to strength in the India portfolio with all the new launches that we have.
And then just one on the pricing environment in how you would look at it for the domestic India piece. Are we, you know, we've seen so far at least industry seem to be growing on the back of price growth as well. So how is it for us?
I think, you know, overall, you know, the pricing environment is stable in India, and most of our growth is coming out of new product launches and volume growth, right, more than just price growth.
Got it. That's helpful. Just moving over to the U.S., the 28% market share for Brovana, what is the denominator we are talking about? Because we have an AG, we have other players as well. So just trying to understand, like for like, are we comparing with the whole market, including brand, or if you can help us, please?
This is on the overall market, Shyam, right? On the overall Brovana market. Include.
Okay, and how do we... Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry, Glenn, you were saying that it's of the overall market, right?
Yeah, and it will take time. Look, it's not going to get captured immediately, okay? Right, so please don't take this as, you know, next month you'll see the IMS sales or IQVIA sales and expect the reflection. It's not going to happen. It will take time to build up, okay? But I think Robert's statement was more in terms of what we've already captured so far in terms of market share.
Yeah.
Okay, this could, some of this could be contracted as well and not get sold. Maybe that's the way to look at it.
Absolutely.
Got it. Last question is on the R&D expense. So I think it was called out at about 9.6-9.7%. So it seems to have come out of that double-digit number. How should we look at this now on a go-forward basis?
So, Shyam, Mani here. So last year we did about 11.5% or so. So this year we will track somewhere... Well, the first quarter was a little more muted. We'll track somewhere between 10 and 11%, more towards the 10.5 or so. That's where we'll be. So in terms of over the last 2-3 years, we have progressively kind of come off substantially.
Got it. And you called out, I think, 20 million for Iconos, right?
22 million. I mean, what Ravi called out was 21.9 million.
Okay. Got it. So, and the remainder is for generic R&D at this point?
Yeah, the remainder is generic R&D, yes.
Got it. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Good morning to all. My first question is on the India business. So, FABI did phenomenally well, and just trying to understand how's the run rate been in July, August, and what is the expectation? How do you see this product? You know, are we seeing lower offtake given cases are down, or you know, billings are still going on?
So Prakash, we've had virtually no sales of Favi, right, in the last in July and August, and even June has came off pretty significantly.
Okay, and looking at Q2 of last year, you had a heavy bump there. How do you expect you know, the remaining 9 months you know, going forward for your India business?
So I think Q2 in India obviously will be negative growth for us on the India business. But I think overall Q2, we are seeing, we are expecting a very good Q2 on the back of a lot of traction that we are seeing in the ROW markets in Europe. The US, we are expecting close to double digit. So I think we are expecting a strong Q2 on a consolidated basis. However, on India, we will be negative in Q2 because of the high Favi sales we had last year.
Okay, fair enough. And if, I mean, the correlation of lower gross margin is a function of Favi sales, is that right?
Yeah, Prakash, the lower gross margin is clearly a function of Favi sales. So as and when we don't have COVID sales, we'll automatically go back to the where we used to be at 66-67%.
So we do expect the gross margins to normalize from Q2, is it?
Yeah, broadly. As and when the COVID sales are off, it will definitely be there. That's the normal.
And India sales, we are saying that X heavy anyways, we are guiding for 10-12% growth.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And second one is on, you know, the investments. So clearly we have moderated our CapEx, R&D, etc. And costs as well. So the free cash flow is very good. I'm just trying to understand what are we thinking about, you know, next level of investment, if at all. Where would that be over you know, this year, next year? What are we thinking about investments now, and in which space?
So Prakash, our primary objective right now, as we've said in our guidance, right, is to accelerate the free cash of the business and to pay down debt, right? And the next 2 years or 3 years will go clearly in that as the primary objective. Outside of that, you may see some in-licensing deals to in certain geographies to accelerate the business. But money also guided towards the total capex, right, for the next few years. So it's all within that, right, in terms of in-licensing cost.
And Monroe investments largely done, right?
Monroe is done.
Okay, so capex for this year and next year is looking how big?
So as I guided earlier, Prakash, around 650 to 700. Next year, maybe closer to 650. This is what we are looking at.
Okay. And these are, I mean, just closing the loop here, is these are maintenance capex, or is there anything, you know, that intangible is how big is?
Yeah. So largely in GPL, most of them will be maintenance capex. But in GLS, as we had, I mean, like to tell that they are obviously spending some money on putting up some capexes in their plants and something on the oncology side. So those are not maintenance, that are like greenfield investments. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Glenn, you have had some niche launches budget up like Rovana, Theophylline, Pidexi. Just wondering, how do you see launches in the second half? Do we expect such launch quality, or you see some period of consolidation before, you know, it starts to improve? And secondly, how many of your pipeline products are sole FTS or some which meets the CGT designation?
So I think it's hard to guide towards launches, right? Glenmark, we never guide towards any specific launches because there's still a lot of uncertainty in terms of the approvals. So, you know, we prefer not to put out any color on the quality of launches, at least in this year. But I think strategically as a company, you know, we make sure that we only file products which are have got a certain value built in them, whether it is CGT status, whether it's first generic, whether it's in the first wave of generics. So we're very focused in terms of what filings we do. So obviously, a lot of that will translate into the quality of launches, right, as and when they do come up. So I think all in all, you know, the U.S. business, our perspective is if we are able to, you know, grow this business around 10%, 10-12% every year, I think we've done well. And this year, we are clearly positioned to grow at about 10%, the U.S. business.
Sure. Any sort of number of maybe some range you would like to give for CGT or FTF product? Not for this year, but maybe, you know, in a pipeline.
No, we don't guide to any FTF or CGT or any of our pipeline.
Sure.
My second question is actually on a Ryaltris. So firstly, what was the CRL about that has led to this, you know, delay of a few months? And secondly, I understand it's still early days in the EU, but what has been the feedback so far from the doctor as well as there?
So regarding the CRL, regarding the US CRL, well, it was primarily on account of our Baddi manufacturing facility, which is under a warning letter. What we've done is we've now transitioned onto a US manufacturing location. We have refiled basis that. So we are hoping, you know, it'll go through it should get approved basis that this time. Regarding the response of doctors has been very positive. I think the product has beaten all our expectations in the markets where we've launched it. So be it South Africa, Australia, Ukraine, we're launching in Russia. So the feedback is really very positive, and we're hoping to launch in Europe starting in Q3 of this year. So all in all, it should be a big product for the company at a global level.
And then just one more, if I can squeeze in. You had mentioned that Spiriva market is around $70 to $80 million or so in Europe. So what is the kind of competition that you can expect here?
Sorry, I missed the question. Can you just repeat that?
So the Spiriva market you had mentioned, I think, in one of your press release, that it is around $700 or $750 million in Europe. I'm wondering what kind of competition do you expect here?
So we are expecting at least one more generic in the next 6 months, right? And that's the only visibility we have, right? And this is from not an Indian player. So one more generic is what we anticipate in the next 6 months.
And have you launched in all the markets?
No, we've just started the launch process. It'll take us at least six to nine months to even commercialize in all markets.
Sorry,
we couldn't understand your question.
Kunal, your voice is not coming very clear. It could just come closer to your phone.
Will your competitor take just as long to commercialize? I mean, will they remain 6 to 9 months behind you in other markets too?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the typical process in Europe. So you'll start country by country, and it typically takes that long to commercialize in most of the markets.
Got it. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So just on this marketing promotional expenses, how do you see, has it been back to pre-COVID levels, at least for the branded generics market?
So on a broad basis, there are two parts to it, okay? Obviously, the marketing expenses would be back to pre-COVID levels. And if you are referring to the other expenses line, obviously in the first half, normally it's a little lower than the second half. So on a full year basis, we'll be back to about 26% or so. We were close to that last year. We'll be slightly above that.
Okay, so effectively, So effectively, let's say improvement in gross margin ex Fabiflu to some extent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that will also happen. I mean, it's not like everything is planned that way. But historically, if you look at it, our H1 normally the overall other expenses are a little lower compared to H2. And normally the sales are also a little higher in H2.
All right. Thanks. That helps. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harith Ahmed from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. On tiotropium DPI launch that we have done, this product has been licensed from whom, and what are the terms with this partner in terms of revenue share or profit share?
So this is licensed from a European manufacturer, I mean, we can't disclose this the precise deal terms, but it's in license from a European manufacturer.
Okay. And my second question is on Ichnos. Are there any data readouts that we should expect from the beat assets in the next 6 or 12 months? So just trying to understand some of the milestones that we should look forward to from Ichnos from a pipeline progress perspective.
So Ichnos near term, as we've discussed, right, you should see some deal action on ISB 880 and ISB 830. Those are near term events. In addition, I think 1342, you should see a readout in the next 6 months is what we believe. If all goes well, we should have POC in the next 6 months. So I think these are the three, and 1442, the start of phase, the IND filing and start of phase one. So these are the four, inflection points for Ichnos in this year.
Okay. Last one from my side. The seasonality that we see in some of our segments, especially ROW, EU and LATAM. This is on account of what exactly? I mean, is it because of our respiratory products and the seasonality that those products typically have? Or is there any other reason for Q1 typically being weaker than fourth quarter?
I think there are two things which are impacting the volatility in sales are purely because one is COVID is still around, okay, in many geographies. Right, so there are still some lockdowns. There are still some geographies which are, getting impacted in across the world. So that is one impact. Second is, of course, respiratory is a big franchise for us. Latin America, particularly, we lost out heavily because of our respiratory sales coming off right during the COVID period. But I think, starting Q2 should be a good quarter for many, many geographies around the world, right? And that's what we are seeing on the ROW side. So strong traction coming out of ROW. Likewise, Europe also should come back to seeing good growth numbers from second quarter onwards.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Glenn, you mentioned about the next few years being good for the India business. So from a capital allocation perspective, are there any plans to increase our focus on India going forward?
Well, I think Alankar, we are anyway, growing this business above the market. The bulk of our focus today is on products, right? Making sure we get new products to the market and making sure we continue to gain market share in the segments which we operate, which is mainly dermatology, respiratory, cardiovascular and diabetes, right? The four segments and oncology. So, I mean, these are the segments we are driving. And I think the bulk of our focus is on bringing new products to market and trying to gain share through the product route as opposed to, large field force expansions and further capital investments in the India business.
Understood, Glenn. And my second question is to Robert. So I would assume our US portfolio concentration would have come down quite a bit over the past few years. Any color you can provide on what would be the sales contribution from our top 10 products in the US now versus what it was, say, 3-4 years back?
Well, to be honest, just to see that if you just look at our portfolio as a whole today, the biggest portion of our portfolio, we are a number one, two, or three player in the top three players. So proportionately still, our top 10 products will still bring in a very high proportion of our business from a weighted perspective.
But has that number come down over the last few years, or it's pretty much intact?
No, it's come down a number.
Pretty much intact.
I mean, the shares are high, okay? Just to add to what Robert is saying, Alaka, market shares are high, but in terms of value to the overall business, we don't have a single product which is more than, let's say, 15 million in sales. So it's a very diversified business today.
Understood. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charulata Gaidani from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question pertains to the agreement with Sanofi. By when do you expect, I mean, if you could give some details of the trial and the timelines of launch?
So the trial is underway. I think it's a 250-300 patient trial that we are running in India. And we are hoping, it all depends on the regulators as to when they would approve us and whether we would get emergency use authorization or we would have to complete the trial and then launch it. So it could be anywhere from October right up to December time frame is what we anticipate.
For the EUA filing?
No, this is for either EUA or final approval.
Okay. And in terms of my second question on the ROW market, whatever supplies are going into ROW, are they mainly COVID-related or... They are mainly the other products.
So I can take that. I mean, what we have seen in the last quarter is honestly across the board through all the ROW countries, whether it's Africa, Asia, CIS, also, Middle East, even our Russian business, on our base business, we've seen exceptional growth. So we are very optimistic about our business today. And just to answer you in short, in quarter one, there was very little of the COVID product that went out into ROW.
Okay, so what would be the percentage for COVID?
COVID is very small. It's negligible. The COVID products are negligible in ROW.
Okay, fine. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead. Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi, sorry, I was on mute. Just wanted to understand the margin guidance better. So this quarter, particularly gross margin and EBITDA margin marginally lower because of higher COVID-related sales. Next quarter, you talked about, Europe and LATAM bouncing back, plus US high margin product, Rowana is there. So, I'm just trying to think that 19-20% is definitely in the bag. So would you be also, do we have upside risk on this? You expect better margins going forward?
Prakash, we would like to guide to a 19-20% margin, 19 plus. And if we get anything better, that's a bonus. I mean, we would because as you know, there are COVID times, there are uncertainties. So we would like to guide to a 19%. The GC, obviously, as I guided earlier, we always have a 66-67% GC. I mean, if there is no COVID sales, automatically it goes back there. Yeah, that's how it trends.
No, but are you baking in higher costs going forward for the rest 9 months, or how should we?
The other expenses, as I explained, for a full year basis, if you look at it, it is almost about 26% plus. In this quarter, it was a little lower. As I also, I mean, informed earlier that the first half normally it's a little bit lower, and it builds up in the second half as we get to looking at launches, etc. So on an overall basis, what I can guide to you is to say that we would do a EBITDA margin of 19 plus. Okay, that would be.
Okay, perfect. And secondly, I missed one point on the one or two launches, which I think Glenn said in India business, large launches. What would those be?
Prakash, we can't mention, but I think you'll see it in the next 2-3 months, right? We have some ongoing launch activities on multiple products. I think in the next 2-3 months, it'll be evident.
So are these the, you know, the core diabetes franchise, or these are...
This is all within our therapeutic areas.
Non-COVID?
Correct.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. We will read the disclaimer before we end. The information, statements, and analysis made in this presentation describing the company or its affiliates' objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions that are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those statements depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. With this, we end the call today. A very big thank you to all of you for joining us on the call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.